Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. Okay, so for today's episode, these are two back-to-back conversations that I've had last year with holiday home shoppers. The first, which is a video call, is with Joey Stockermans and Take Kurosawa, which if you're following our channels, you're probably already familiar with. They're the founders of AkiyaMart, the exciting new platform that allows people to search for property listings in Japan in English using a responsive map interface. As I mentioned in the first episode we published with them a month or so ago, they started off as our clients and we've helped them purchase a house here in Japan. They were very quickly already on the lookout for a second property, and they wanted to pick my brain a bit about annual expenses, red flags, and other things that they should look out for when reviewing listings, as well as about renovations and repairs, in-person and remote property viewings, landscaping, maintenance, connection to infrastructures like water, sewage, and so forth, and also about registering a car or a bicycle to use while they're in Japan, which isn't a very simple process for non-residents, but it is possible. Also how we handle utility bills on owners' behalf, and most importantly, when we can get together for some drinks during their upcoming visit, which is now water under the bridge. We have already met, but they're hopefully going to be back here again in a month or two. So here's that first conversation, and I'll be right back after this one to give you a heads up on the next one in line. Okay, cool. So first off, thank you for our confidence in us. We do have a lot of customers who become return customers, but I don't think we have had anyone who does that so quickly after settling on their first purchase. So we appreciate that.
Thank you for helping us through our first purchase. Looking forward to a second.
Fantastic. Okay, so this is still a holiday home, essentially. You've mentioned surf spots and such, right?
Yeah. So do you want me to send the link over again or down? I'll send it to our WhatsApp chat again just to re-up it. But yeah, while we are going to Japan next week, so we'll be hopefully in Beppu actually in 2 weeks, early October, we want to take the opportunity to go further down south. We're both big surfers, and specifically this one spot near Cape Toy in Koegauda, I think is an ideal escape. It's, I think, relatively affordable, and I know it's pretty empty around there, but I think that's what we're looking for, kind of just like a holiday surf home.
Okay, I can't remember the build year on the one you've just purchased. This is, I'm assuming, a little bit younger or older? I can't remember.
It's older, actually.
Older, so then? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's younger. This one's 1982.
Oh, yeah, 1982. Younger. I can see it here.
I think the Beppu spot is 1970.
70-something. Yeah, that's what I
thought. 77.
Okay, well, close enough. Let me just have a quick look at the photo. So this one's bigger, isn't it, from the looks of it?
Yeah, so our Beppu spot's 91 meters squared with a land total size of 100.
Okay, well, the first thing to say is this is 1982, but it looks like a more traditional build, which normally would mean you probably need more specialized professionals if and when you'll want to do renovations and repairs. So just bear in mind that if it's not something simple like tatami or like, for example, see those, let's go back to that photo.
That's interesting to hear. Makes sense though.
Yeah. So those kinds of ceilings and those bigger, the bigger sort of support beams and stuff like that do require specialized professionals. So depending on the job, it could go as high as 3-4 times the normal, like a more modern build renovations and repairs. So the kitchen, for example, look just like typical 70s, 80s kitchen, but some of the features in the house seem to be more traditional, which is good. They do tend like see these here, that's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And more, you know, traditional roof and such. So again, they do tend to last longer than modern builds, but when they do need to be repaired or renovated, it does cost a bit more if it's any of those traditional features.
So on that, I guess the fourth image, it says like you can look up a YouTube tour. I've been looking, I cannot find it. I'm not sure if you guys will have any better luck, but any ideas around that?
No, it doesn't seem to be here, does it? So we have a quick look. Maybe there's tabs. Sorry, each of these websites have their own sort of format. And also my kanji skills are non-existent. So let me just translate that for a sec. No. Maybe here? Probably. Oh, no, that just goes down to the same page, doesn't it?
Maybe like the real estate.
Yeah, on the agent's website, maybe.
Or their YouTube channel. I don't know.
Was that? Hang on. More Yano real estate company information. Let's have a look here. Oh no, that's just different properties. Oh, no, that is. Yeah, but no website, is there? I'm not sure. We'll have to contact the agent and find out where we can see said video.
Okay.
You use
the description. They've had another question. It's actually on well water. Have you dealt with properties that use well waters? I'm not too familiar with them.
Yeah, it's something that you want to either A, do regular water quality checks on, or B, connect to city water if available.
Mm-hmm.
I know that a lot of people, we've just actually in the process of finalizing one of these purchases, and the agent mentioned, which I think is going to be the case a lot of the time with these sort of water supplies, is that a lot of people use that just for bathing and washing, but they actually get in bottled waters for drinking purposes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm. But I mean, well, it doesn't mean like a you know, a pail and a chain. There'll be an actual electric pump that you can use to get water off it.
Well, yeah. So I think I've actually been to this area last time I went to Japan, so I feel pretty comfortable. Just with like the surrounding things, I haven't been specific. We've like Google Maps it and stuff like that, but we'd love maybe to organize a look at it early October when we're in Kyushu.
Yeah, we're happy to do that. Early October gives us not much time to start the scheduling, so we'll need to get on. How long are you here for?
Yeah, we'll be there. I'll be there till October 20th. So ideally would be somewhere in the October 10 to 20 or 10 to 18. Would be preferable. Is it? Do you think that's too tight?
Normally not, but we do tell people to give us up to a month. Worst case, if the agent for some reason is not very responsive or scheduling takes a bit longer than usual, but
hopefully
should be doable. That gives us almost a month to work with, so should be okay. I'm assuming.
Okay. Perfect. I think
with the land. It's hard to see here what exactly it's bordering, but if it is, for example, those trees, if they're overhanging a neighbor's property or any of the public access roads, then you will need to regularly maintain them. I'm assuming weed doesn't look like it's going to be an issue, but you also want to avoid overgrown weeds for risks of vermin and so.
Mm-hmm.
So again, just the bigger the land plot, the more landscaping maintenance you'll need to do. That's also something to bear in mind. If it's just a matter of occasional, let's say once a month, some weeding and control of bushes and such, it's probably not going to be over $70-$80 a month. But if there is tree work that needs to be regularly done, that can be a lot more.
Got it.
So as part of the either the video that they provide or a remote viewing that we'll conduct, we'll want to just confirm what exactly is bordering the property and what sort of vegetation on your land plot is bordering that. Hello, have I lost you?
Yep. Nope, we're still here. Another question is around operational costs and specifically property tax. I actually don't remember what our property tax up is up in Beppu, but does it differ per prefecture, or what does the property tax look like?
It differs a little bit per prefecture, but more so on the size of the land plot. So this one does look like a larger land plot. I'm assuming also higher property tax, but that's, again, something that we'll get from the agent once we start the due diligence process, or at least once we submit an offer. And then we can, of course, pull back the offer if any of that information is less than satisfactory.
I got it. Maybe we missed it before, but did we get that for our Beppu spot? If so, we'd love to find that out.
We did get that in advance. If we haven't mentioned it, it's probably because it's nothing unexpected or too high. But if you give me a second, I'll just have a quick look at your file. Settlement statement should show. Oh, I thought I... Am I still sharing? Oh, that's okay. Your property tax on Beppu is $27,210 annually. So about $200.
$210. Okay. Is that like a percentage? I can do the math, I guess. That doesn't seem too bad.
I mean, we work it out as the percentage of the purchase cost, but that's not how the formula works. It's a lot more complicated than that and is way over my pay grade. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. So roughly 27, one more time, 27.
27 to 10. So in your case, that's, give me a second, this divided by 6.3 million yen. And give me that in percentage. So in your case, it's about 0.43% annually.
Okay, perfect. And is that, can that change significantly over time with city laws?
Not significantly, unless it's central Tokyo or central Osaka or central Fukuoka, places that, you know, go up in value more rapidly, but definitely not in areas like that. It's probably going to be very similar every year.
Okay, perfect. Thank
you. But I mean, if you, you know, if you happen to purchase in a place that suddenly becomes an international hotspot, then that could happen.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good and bad, right?
Okay. I think for this Koiga Ura spot, we're pretty set. I guess if we're going to organize a viewing, there's actually one other unit down there that's not as nice as this one, but if it's not too much trouble, we'd love to take a peek at both at the same time.
Well, if it's not from the same agency, nowadays with the pandemic and a lot of the agents are used to working with Zoom and such because they didn't have a choice, we can get a lot of them to do a remote viewing for us if you prefer to save on the expense of us going out there in person.
Okay. I think a remote viewing would be great. And also,
where is this one again? Sorry.
Me and Joe are happy. This is in Koiga Ura or Cape Toy. Yeah.
Where is Kushima? I don't think I've even heard the name in my life.
Far south, where there's at least like wild horses there. Far down.
Kushima. South Miyazaki? East.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Still in Kyushu. Well, I mean, it's not going to be too crazy of an expense to send us down there. If it's in Kyushu, it's totally up to you.
Me and Joey are open to going. Do you as a real estate agent need to be there, or
we're not a real estate agent, and no, we don't need to physically be there. But if you're going to do the viewings yourselves, then the agent will probably want us to be available for interpretation. So you guys will kick off a Zoom session, and we'll just join in. And whenever there's a question to be asked, if you guys can't understand each other, then we'll jump in and interpret.
Okay, perfect. That sounds good.
And it's always a good idea to have us there as well, just because, you know, as you're walking through it and pointing the camera, we might just notice something that we want to ask some questions about, which might have slipped you.
Okay, totally. So I think that sounds good. Me and Joey will have a car, so we'll physically drive down there, and we can probably Zoom zoom you in unless you want to come down. I know it's a little bit far from Fukuoka.
We're always happy to, but we do have to charge for trips outside Fukuoka City. So
okay.
It's totally up to you.
Understood. So I'm going to send link one. There's that one property, but there's also this one that I think is a second place if in case that first one doesn't work. They're both probably within 3 minutes of each other that we'd love to do a remote viewing if possible.
Okay, let me have a quick look at that one and share the screen again.
Yeah, they're both in the Kushima city, so I think.
Okay, so same rough year of build, two-story this one.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's probably it has the same.
Oh, yeah, YouTube.
I think it's the same agent. Yeah, that's the same YouTube comment there.
Okay.
That one looks a bit more modern build. So probably less durable overall, but repairs and renovations will cost less.
Mm-hmm.
And the yard definitely looks like it'll take less landscaping and maintenance compared to that other one. That was a huge one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Less photos and info on that one. Let me just quickly translate that. Now, if you've been following this podcast for a while, and in particular our JREP sessions, you're probably more than familiar with Blanca Kobayashi of Arc Reform. They're a bilingual renovation company serving clients in the Kanagawa and Kanto area, so Tokyo, Chiba, Saitama, Kawasaki, Yokohama. They can handle simple, small-scale projects as well as full house renovations, and they will work with you on the perfect design for your dream family home. But not only homes, Arc Reform also handle commercial property renovations, offices, restaurants, bars, shops, you name it, from traditional classics to the latest trends in interior design and renovations. So you want to email them for a free consultation and quote at info@arcreform.com. That's ARKReform, all one word, .com, and give your home or commercial space the love and care that it deserves. There we go. Detached house close to the sea surf spot. Okay, but no actual information on water supply. No. Okay, so we'll just have to ask a few more questions about this one, I think.
Okay. Sounds good.
I can't see as much detailed information as the previous one. Probably because it's cheaper. They're just not taking the effort, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect. Yeah, those are two top contenders. Feel pretty strongly that they're close enough to a great surf spot that they can be in okay condition or poor condition, and we could still be convinced.
Yep. I mean, you're picking beautiful spots. I'm not much of a surfer, but you're definitely picking nice spots, ocean and river-wise. Miyazaki is beautiful. Yep.
Cool. Quick question. So we're getting a car. I remember we discussed this a little bit before, but do you provide services to help us buy and register a car? Or,
my other now, company does. My other company does. Yeah, we're doing it for two clients at the moment, and we've already helped one of them kind of half-ish because he had a local dealer who could help. So for that one, we're just the contact person to receive and pay bills and so. But the other two, we're doing everything on their behalf. So it's a new thing for us as well, but we're quickly picking up the procedures. But every municipality have their own pesky little regulations about which documents need to be submitted. And most of them have never, ever done that for a foreigner. So for a non-resident foreigner, at least. So it's always a case of us explaining to them that yes, it is doable. Here's the national framework, and here's how you get around the fact that people don't have a hanko and blah blah blah. So it just depends on how stubborn they are at the local transport bureau.
Okay, yeah, I think that's something we're definitely interested in. I think Joey will be in Japan till the end of the year almost, and I'll be here and there. So if that makes things easier to just get a hanko or something and do it. That'd be awesome.
You can get a registered hanko you can get one just, as a souvenir kind of thing, but you're not going to be able to use unofficial documents if you're not a resident.
Got it. Okay.
That's all done via notary public, same as with the purchase.
Okay.
Should we contact
an address certificate from City Hall? You get a signature and address certificate done up in English with the Japanese address of the property. So you're not going to be able to do that before you actually purchase. That'll have to be after the purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will need to get a certified translation of that document into Japanese, wherever you're doing it, in Canada or the USA or whatever the case may be. Okay. The other option is you can check with the Japanese consulate if they will allow you to come and have a document signed and witnessed that's written fully in Japanese, because I'm not sure if, I mean, they can physically do that, but if you, I'm not sure if they're allowed to, if you can't actually understand everything that's written in the original Japanese. So one of these two options, it might be a bit more of a hassle, but you will need maybe to get a certified translation of it.
Okay.
I think we're definitely interested in this. Should we contact you through this other company of yours, or how should we, or should we wait till we're there in Japan in October?
Give me a summary and those two listings, and just mention at the bottom that you also want to purchase and register a car, and then I'll just separate the two threads, one via each email address.
Sounds great. Okay.
Perfect. Ziv, one more question. I know you have a file for us, and curious, as far as utilities, I know you mentioned this all way a while ago. We did not take notes. Do you mind going through general utility prices you suspect for that BEPU spot? So we have property tax, like general electric and gas.
So it depends on how often you're using it, and obviously during which season, and also on how many people are staying at any given time. I would say your internet is kind of fixed price. That's about 5,000 a month. So what's that? 45 UF? No, it's a lot lower now, isn't it? It's about 40 US. Gas, electric, and other utilities will probably be somewhere between 10,000 to 20,000 yen for months of usage, more so in the heat of summer and obviously in the dead of winter kind of thing, and maybe closer to the cheaper end of that scale on more temperate months. And when you're not using it, it's only, I think, 1,000 yen to keep the electric connection alive. The electric company doesn't like it if you disconnect and reconnect and disconnect and reconnect. So you just keep it alive for about 10 bucks, $8 a month or one.
Okay, got it.
But landscaping could be a different consideration. That would depend on the layout of the landscape of the garden.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, we're excited to go, and we're gonna try to make it a minimal garden, try to make things simple. And I know your team is helping us support maybe that gas line installation.
That one ended up being complicated in your case for some reason. I think they had to run the pipes to the house. It wasn't actually ever provided before, so that one is taking a bit longer. Sorry about that.
Okay. No problem. Cool. I think that answers a lot of my questions, Joey. Oh, actually, one more question. If we get a bike, I know you have to register bikes in Japan. Are we allowed to just go to a shop and buy a bike, or is that
same
something?
Story? They'll want documentation for you to be able to
really
buy. Yeah, but I mean, bike as in push bike, you mean?
Yeah, just like a mama chatty or kind of like.
Yeah, I mean, an easier way to get around that would maybe be to hit the Gaijin Facebook or Messenger groups and stuff like that, where people are just selling secondhand stuff. But you'd still, I mean, if a cop pulls you over, and they do sometimes pull bicycles over, they will want to see that it's registered.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've only been stopped over once in my 10 years here, but it does happen, more so in the city than in the countryside, but still happens.
Okay. So the proper way is to get like a translation of our residence or something similar to
that. Well, once you have everything for the car, you'll definitely be able to reuse those documents for the bike as well.
Okay. Got it. Cool. Joey, any questions on your end?
No, I think that's good.
Ziv, general timeline. I know we're in probably October, so are we looking at probably sometime early winter for this Koigo dust spot? Similar timelines to BEPU, you think?
If it ends up being though one of those properties, I would assume. I mean, once we submit the offer, maybe allow about 2 months, maybe up to 2.5 if you need a structural inspection again, which I would probably recommend you do. So maybe more like towards the end of the year, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
If we happen to run into the Christmas season and it's not finalized yet, then everything here it dies until the 10th of January or so.
Okay. Understood. Yeah. I think if there's anything we can do when we're in person, we're also happy to sign stuff. I don't know if that will help.
No, it's just the procedurals of, okay. you know, the viewing and then the offer, mm-hmm. and then the mm-hmm. inspection. That just takes the time that it takes.
Okay. Cool. And last piece, yeah, we would love to visit you in Fukuoka, maybe grab, get you a beer or dinner.
We'll be there again. Actually, Naomi San just walked in. She'll be happy to meet you in person as well. I think it's Joey and Take.
Yeah. Let's. I've never been to Fukuoka, so we're excited to. Well, hopefully, have a car and be able to drive there. It's not too far. So,
yeah, fantastic. Let's make it towards the end of the working day, and then we can go grab a beer after that.
Okay.
Perfect.
That sounds good. Cool. So we'll follow up with an email with these two Koigaura, or what's the area called? I guess on Google.
Kushima
Miyazaki
spots. Yes. There we go. And then we'll also ask about the car situation. Yeah, I would love to see what we can do, and hopefully somebody get a cool car in Japan.
Perfect. Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thanks for your time. Bye bye.
Bye.
All right. So those were Take and Joey from Akiya Mart, who are also home buyers themselves, of course. Now, the second conversation, also along the lines of the same topic, is an audio-only recording of a chat that I had with an Australian gentleman who's in the market for a holiday home as well, but this one specifically in Nagasaki City. And he wanted to ask about some of the same things, but also more specific topics like population trends and their potential effects on property prices, purchase costs versus sale costs, maintenance expenses, earthquake-resistant building standards, and retrofitting options for older homes that don't comply with those, as well as about renovation costs, the advantages and disadvantages of owning houses as opposed to condo units, and also about how to work with Japanese realtors generally, how to find listings, create relationships, and a few other tidbits. So enjoy this conversation as well, and I'll see you again one last time on the other side.
Okay, cool. So I was scrolling down through your email there, just to refresh my non-existent memory. You've mentioned Nagasaki, and you were asking about, give me a second. Is it a bad idea to purchase in Nagasaki due to population decline? Well, that depends on what you're purchasing for. If it's a holiday home and this is where you want to be because this is where you like to go on holiday, then it's not really a factor. Nagasaki is a city, so it's not going to lose infrastructure in the next 5 or 10 years or anything of that sort.
Yeah.
If you ever want to rent it out, then yes, declining population in a city does mean a declining tenant base as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how about property values? You know, say at some point we eventually want to sell something we purchase, and you know, I you know it's hard to determine, you know, really predict.
Nagasaki has not done amazingly well property value wise, which also means that properties are cheaper there, so there's the silver lining to that. But generally speaking, locations in Japan that don't gain in value, which is mainly only the bigger metropolitan centers or, you know, some international hotspots like Niseko or what, but Tokyo, Osaka, Fukuoka, Kyoto, and very close big cities like Yokohama, Kobe, Chiba, Saitama do tend to rise in value when the economy does overall, and the rest of them tend to stay very flat. Specifically to Nagasaki, depends on the house that you're purchasing. So if you're buying something, basically the only thing that can gain value in Japan is the land, obviously, not the structure, right? So if you're buying something that's already fully depreciated and is not really considered a price factor, for example, if the house is over 25 years old, then you're really only buying the land, right? The cost of the structure is not really even factored in when they price the listing. So it's probably not going to lose much value, but I doubt it'll gain anything. So most of our customers who have resold properties have either sold at a similar price or with slight gains or slight losses.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just worried about
no huge leaps and bounds for sure, but depends on when you sell it too. I mean, I guess if you sell it in 20 years and Nagasaki is completely emptied out by then maybe that's a concern. But generally I'd say you'd probably sell it for about the same price.
It's not tanking.
Is the area especially, sorry, go ahead.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
And a question that I didn't have on there, you know, what is the process of reselling, you know, being a seller? Is it a difficult process or...
Japan's generally a very liquid market, especially at these more affordable price levels. Again, if you're buying a brand new development, then obviously you can also stand to gain and to lose value. But if you're buying something that's already old and, you know, at least slightly dilapidated, by the time you sell, we haven't had a property stand on the market when a customer wants to sell it for more than a few months. It tends to be a very active market, but depending on location, I mean, if it's very suburban Nagasaki, then yeah, it might take longer. But if it's priced right, I would assume not longer than 6 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm just guessing.
You know, I'm kind of familiar with from the podcast of the cost of the buyer end, but what are the costs on the seller's end? Is it as much? I mean,
it's less. So the legal and registration fees and the purchase tax are obviously only relevant. Sorry, not obviously. The purchase tax is obviously only relevant to the buyer. The legal and registration fees in Japan are also paid by the buyer. So the seller doesn't need to take that into account. So that means that if we happen to find an existing client of ours who wants the property, then you're just going to need to pay us, which is going to be, depending on the price of the property, 3-5%. If we don't have any clients interested, which I'm guessing with the kind of family home in Nagasaki might be the case, then you also need to pay the agent fee, which is again somewhere between 3.5-5.5%. So overall, for a sale, it'll be somewhere between, let's call it 4-10%. And for the purchase, because of the purchase tax and the legal and registration fees, if you're using somebody like us as a go-between, then if the property is not super, super, super cheap, probably not more than 20%. Are you looking at newer builds, older builds? What sort of properties are you looking at?
I mean, it seems like, you know, just in a brief search, you know, I don't know if you saw the size that we're looking for. You know, I'm looking for something that will fit, you know, 6-7, two adults and 4-5 children, you know, some teenagers, and relatively comfortably for about a month. So I feel like, you know, 4 bedrooms, 100 square meters, maybe.
It's kind of a typical Japanese family home.
Yes, yes. So, but how old? I didn't really see anything new. I mean, is there anything new? I didn't really see anything new. Everything looked very old. So
there would be, but it depends on what your budget is.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that's true. Mm. And also, you know, location, we'd want to be relatively central, you know. It doesn't have to be in the city, but, you know, relatively close to a trend line. And, you know, if we're staying for a month, we'd want to be close to maybe some amenities like supermarkets. And
things like okay, that. Well, I see that you wrote, now I'm looking down, I see that you wrote there, based on your size requirements and budget, looks like you're looking at older house. 40 to 50 years old is very old houses in Japan. They're not really built to last that long. So you can definitely expect, I mean, I understand that budget is a concern, but just bear in mind that with that age home, you're looking at an average of something like $3,000-$4,000 a year. US a year in annual maintenance and repairs. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's just a statistic. So you'll have like 5 years where you don't have to repair anything, but then the roof goes for 20,000 or whatever the case may be. But on average, maybe $3,000-$4,000 a year. So just factor that into your considerations when you're deciding on that mm-hmm. budget.
And then, so that's for a house also. And then, so for a 20-year-old house, you know, obviously the yearly costs are less.
Yeah, so for the houses usually start requiring maintenance when they hit that 20-25 year mark, and then it's probably going to be an average of something like $2,000 to $3,000 a year, maybe on the lower end of that because it's just starting to get to that point where it needs maintenance if it's 20 years old. But again, that's an average. So you could buy it and not have to do anything for 10 years, or you could buy it and as part of the purchase, we'd probably also advise that you do a structural inspection just to make sure that there are no major repairs that need to be done. And assuming none of those need to be done, then yeah, maybe $2,000-$3,000 a year on average if it's younger, up until it reaches about 35, 40 years old.
And generally, I know it's, you know, again, probably hard to know, but, you know, what type of renovations need to be done these type of houses, you know, 20-year-old versus...
Well, you need your termite protection every 5 or 6 years from memory. That's about $600 up to $1,000, depending on the size of the house. And then the main things are usually, again, assuming there's no major issues found out during the inspection. So, for example, if the roof is completely shot or the house is tilting or sinking or we see termite tracks, which might mean there's more structural damage that we can't see. Putting those aside, it'll normally be spot kind of roof repairs. If the house is elevated on a set of stairs or like there's a concrete wall kind of holding it together and the street level is a bit lower, then you also need to maintain that wall. And around 30, 40 years is when you'll probably need to start fixing some holes in it and so forth. Otherwise, I mean, plumbing, wiring, the same sort of things you'd expect anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And if there's any weather or earthquake damages, then of course that can add to that.
I mean, do they do, you know, I know you had mentioned that there was at a certain 1989, you know, the earthquake.
That's more for reinforced concrete structures. So the latest earthquake resistant building standards were introduced for wooden houses, I think, in around 2000.
Okay.
But that was referring mostly to wooden houses requiring a concrete base, which is not something you can really retrofit. So in case of a wooden house, that's probably not as huge a consideration. It more refers to concrete blocks.
Okay, but is there any retrofitting that needs to be done with a certain age of a house?
Not from a structural perspective, but you'd probably want to put in double pane windows. You'll probably want to upgrade the bathroom, the kitchen, the toilet. You might be on septic tank or even the prelude to that, which is called kumitori, which is just like a huge collection tank under the house. You might want to change from that to a normal sewage toilet. You might want to connect to city water in case it's still on the old school well water kind of arrangement.
And how do you determine the types of repairs that might need to be done? I guess that.
So as far as facilities and infrastructures are concerned, the seller and the listing agent will of course need to let you know what sort of facilities are available and which ones are not. So we'll know that based on the listing details, or if it's not listed in the listing itself, it's the kind of information we'll immediately get from the listing agent once we start making inquiries. Beyond that, it's even if they tell us that they don't know of any issues, we would still recommend structural inspection because they might just not know.
Okay. So you kind of, based on that information, we can generally determine how much more money would need to be put in to a specific house?
Roughly. I mean, we have ranges. We have ranges that we can let you know. And we more, from our perspective, it's more a case of whether we're going to red light, raise a red flag and say, don't go ahead with this deal because that looks like a severe issue, more than an actual case of estimating. But I can tell you that, for example, a roof is somewhere between 2 to 3 million yen. Putting in double glazed windows for most homes is normally going to be about 10,000 US. So we have, again, we have rough ranges. I can tell you how much it costs to install a bathroom, to install a toilet, to install a kitchen and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then flooring, interior, I mean, it's more a cosmetic sort of convenience kind of thing. So that'll be up to you. Tatamis, no tatamis. Tatamis cost about, depending on the type, but somewhere between $600 to $1,000 for a standard sized room of 6 tatamis, and so on and so forth. So depending on the condition of the house, what we see in the viewing, what we find in the inspection, we'll be able to give you some ranges and advise whether it's a good idea to go ahead or not.
And I mean, we're not in, based on sort of our size desire, we're not in any type of range for an apartment yet, correct?
How do you mean? Sorry? Apartments are always an option.
Are there apartments that large, you know?
There are, but they're rare in Japan. Normally, even a family-sized apartment in Japan is going to be at most 80, 90 square meters. Beyond that, it's kind of classified as a luxury apartment here. So they are out there, but whether they'll fit in your budget, I'm not sure. What was your budget? Did we discuss that?
About 100,000, you know, plus purchase cost. It's, it's flexible, but
And what's the minimum size that you can live with?
Maybe 80 square meters might be okay.
We don't
want to be uncomfortable for that too, you know.
There could be some options out there as long as you're not as long as you can live without the garden or the yard, which is what usually people go for with a house for.
I think it's more of a living space, and you know we have some younger kids and older kids.
Well, we can have a look for both. There definitely might be some options. I think.
I mean, I think I would be really open to apartments, but it just didn't look like it was much available.
If you are, it'll save you a lot on maintenance costs. Apartments and concrete buildings are a lot. I mean, you're paying the building monthly fees, but that takes care of all structural repairs and renovations in the vast majority of cases. So it's definitely a lot less. I mean, with wooden structures, it's always, it can be seasonal, it can be weather dependent, it can be just a matter of luck. Whereas with apartments, you know what you're paying every month. And that's kind of, I mean, the building fees rise slightly every few years, but it's still a very foreseeable kind of stable expense as opposed to just, you know, unexpected stuff happening. So we would advise that if you can live with that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm open to it.
But it doesn't give you, apartments don't give you the flexibility that you have with houses. So with houses, you could potentially rent them out short term. You could potentially tear them down, make a parking lot there, rent them out as commercial spaces if you ever don't want to use the property just yourself. And you just have more options if you own the entire structure.
I see.
And then you were asking if there are any English-speaking agents in Nagasaki that you can work with. We've never worked with one, but I assume most medium, semi-large cities would have at least one or two. I know Nagasaki specifically does have a lot of expats, like mainly Indian, Bangladeshi engineers who work for Mitsubishi Heavy Industries. They've got a big presence there. So I'm assuming there's at least one agent or two that you can work directly with. I mean, you can start, just Google it, just Google real estate agent Nagasaki, see if anything comes up in English. And then if you do find someone and you see that you can communicate with them, then you can just bring us on as consultants to hold your hand as opposed to facilitating the entire purchase. It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know you had definitely in the Tokyo area, it seems like you have connections. I just was wondering if you knew of anybody specific about this stuff.
I mean, recently, in the last 5-6 years, a lot more Japanese agents have, and also with the advent of, you know, translation apps, there are a lot of them that try to work with foreigners. But still, we often get contacted them, you know, halfway through the process, they recognize that, ooh, there's too much lost in translation, and they get concerned that there's going to be mistakes or misunderstandings. And then actually the agents will find us and contact us and ask if we can facilitate the purchase. So it's hit and miss. Each city would have, the bigger the city, obviously, the easier it would be to work directly with agents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's reasonable. And we could always fall back on you if we need to go to that.
Yeah, we're always happy with that. And then lastly, we're asking to use the property as a monthly rental, not minpaku. So there's no legal limitations on monthly rentals. They're considered a normal rental because they're done for a period of at least 1 month and with an actual tenancy lease in place. And that can be just like a single page, simple tenancy lease that satisfies the requirement. But the issue then would be, are there monthly rental management companies that can actually handle the property? So normal property managers for long-term rentals exist in every city. Monthly and minpaku depends on the city. The bigger it is, the more likely there is going to be someone to work with. Nagasaki, I would assume, would be challenging, but we can look into that.
Okay. So, but there's not the whole certification, the whole minpaku certification.
No hoops to jump through, no. It's just a matter of whether there's somebody who can actually do
it. Whether there's somebody there that can actually do the rental for
Correct.
You. I mean, you know. That's just
I mean, you always have the option to do it via your own channels, right? Like set up some kind of online presence, advertise in English, and then you can figure out a way to charge people. But we won't be able to do it for you if it's not via a normal Japanese property manager. So you will have to manage the whole thing on your own. It's doable. You can install like electronic remotely controlled locks where you can change the code, and we can just organize a cleaning and maintenance company for you, so we can do that. But the actual handling the check-ins and check-outs and dealing with guests and bookings and charges, we won't be able to do if it's not via a property manager.
I mean, if we were able to rent it out to friends or acquaintances, that seems like something that might be doable.
Yeah, if you can handle everything on your end and then they just come there and they're already good to go, then we can just handle the cleaning when it needs to be done and that's it.
Now, here's some big news for anyone interested in Akiya, the abandoned vacant homes that are abundant all around Japan for very attractive purchase prices. Akiya Mart, our latest sponsor, is a recently founded online search and discovery tool for Japanese real estate. Its user interface will be very familiar to users of Zillow or Redfin. The platform essentially scouts the internet for property listings, translates them into English, and displays prices in US dollars, all in one place and with a dynamic map interface that makes browsing, finding, and shortlisting your favorite properties a piece of cake. Which any of you have been struggling with the dozens, if not hundreds, of Japanese property websites that are available online and their very clunky interface will probably find a real blessing. They've got already over 500,000 listings on the platform, and the database is expanding daily. Ranging from abandoned rural homes to luxury urban properties, Akiya Mart makes it easy to find your dream home in Japan, regardless of your budget. Now, while the platform is essentially free for use, here's an exclusive offer for listeners of the podcast. You can use the promo code NTI to receive $5 off Akiya Mart Pro. The subscription will unlock a bunch of very attractive features for you, including unrestricted access to the entire nationwide property database and a whole range of filters, which will help power charge your search for that elusive perfect home and make it even easier. So hop over to akiya-mart.com. That's akiya-mart, akiya-mart.com, and kick off your search today.
Okay. I had one question about, you know, anything specific in terms of natural disaster. I know it's sort of a hilly area in Nagasaki, landslides or something like that. That you're aware of, you know.
I'm not, I haven't heard, I know they were hit by similar typhoons. I got a few friends living there, and at the same time that we get hit with typhoons here in Fukuoka, they tend to be in the same boat kind of thing. But earthquake-wise, I haven't, Masami-san, do you know if they're, Nagasaki is, no idea. I'm just looking now. 2 months ago, I see a 4.4, 1 month ago, a 4.9. Yeah, so a bit more than Fukuoka, it looks like. I haven't heard of any major disasters there, though, so...
There's a volcano in Shimabara.
Yes. Yeah, there's a volcano nearby, but Nagasaki City itself, Masami-san here is telling me, is probably okay.
Okay.
I'm just looking, just give me another second. Yeah, all of the earthquakes that I'm seeing here, history-wise, seem to be under 5. Oh, yeah, the biggest one was back in 1922. That was a 6.6. That's kind of a big one. Nothing like that since then. Earthquake caused by volcanic activity of Mount Unzen in the Shimabara Peninsula killed 15,000 people altogether. And that was... Just trying to find out when that was. I think that's the maybe the 1922 again. Hang on, give me a sec. 1792. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just looking at the. I found a wiki page with all of the recent ones. Oh no, that's all of Japan. Sorry. No. Ignore that. No. So no instances of major earthquakes that I can see since 1922.
I think more just related to the sort of the topography, you know, how there's a lot of hills. I don't know if there's any specific landslide risk or, you know, it's near the ocean.
So landslides are a lot more specific location-wise. So there's going to be a certain street, a certain neighborhood that's in a landslide-prone area. They got yellow zones, red zones. So again, each and every property listing that we look at, the agent and the seller will need to let us know if it's within that zone.
I see.
And then so we'll confirm that via documents before settlement.
Oh, okay. So that's something that's mapped out, maybe.
Yes, but I mean, over time, and especially with global warming, that can change. A yellow zone can turn into a red zone.
Okay. One other question. Is there, you know, in some of these older houses, these older wooden houses, how do people get internet access? Is it, because I do require... reliable internet access.
And these days, what we get from most of our customers, pardon me, is what's called a WiMAX. So it's a wireless cellular internet provision, but it's the modem and the infrastructures are such that it's a very high speed. It's actually a lot faster than the cable and fiber optic infrastructures that they have here. And those modems are also two other advantages. Is number one, they're already 5G enabled. So then, when that becomes a thing, you'll already have the device for it. And secondly, because they're cellular, they're a big box. You wouldn't carry it in your bag, and they require a power outlet. But you can take them with you to a new house if and when you move. So there's no added installations required. And also, you don't need to be there for a technician to install it. You just get the box, plug it in, and it works. What the infrastructure like is like in Nagasaki, I don't know specifically. But most big to medium cities in Japan have pretty good speed, so that would normally not be an issue.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, do they have cables and these houses that can support?
You can. Some people still do that, but we advise that the price is similar enough that we just prefer to recommend that one to our customers. It just makes everything a lot easier.
And that's comparable to sort of cable or
fiber, which is what is normally used. That's the latest one before that one came out, and the speeds are very actually faster with the WiMAX.
I think
last time we compared it was I always forget if it's Gbps or Pbps. I don't remember, but it was 4 for the WiMAX, whereas the fiber only offered up to 1. But of course, that's always on a best effort basis. It's only the max speed that they let you know. And what the reception or what the load is on the day can change.
Okay. So just in general, I don't know if you saw, you know, we sort of had a long-term kind of plan, you know. We haven't actually been to Nagasaki, but we kind of really like the cultural aspects of it and the location. And but we did, you know, ideally we would want to go there and sort of check it out a little bit beforehand, see what neighborhoods we like. And that would be next summer. But, you know, I thought, why not sort of get all the information beforehand and even, you know, keep an eye on listing beforehand, you know, in case something might actually come up that we would really want even without being able to see it beforehand. But I mean,
we're happy to get started whenever you want, whether it's just to look at stuff or to pull the trigger is entirely up to you. We can, mm-hmm. I mean, you said that you research on your own, and normally with holiday home shoppers, the best idea is for you to research on your own because mm-hmm. you're going to be the best filter. You can look at the listing and say whether the photos and the location tick all your boxes or not. We're always happy to complement with our own research, or we can do the entire research for you. But before we're engaged, we're limited to just a couple of hours of complimentary research. So once you want us to go deeper with anything, we will need to be engaged.
Okay. And is it correct that real estate agents in the area have sort of properties that come out quickly and need to be snatched up quickly, or what we find on the internet is generally what is there, or something somewhere in between?
If it's a very good deal, it might. Like, for example, if it's very central, or if the house is relatively new, let's say younger than 20 years, or both, then that could definitely be the case. But most of them, I mean, Nagasaki is a metropolitan center. It's not exactly out in the sticks. So I would assume they don't stay on the market as long as some of the more rural areas do. But usually you'd have at least 2-3 months before it gets snatched. But again, that really varies.
To work with a real estate agent who would sort of feed, or do they do that? Do they sort of send you recommendations or things like that, or
once you've established a relationship with them and they see that you're a serious buyer, then they will, but definitely not within first contact. You'll have to first poke them a little bit and ask them to send you updated listings, and then explain that thank you for the listings, it's very kind of you, however those don't exactly fit our criteria because of ABCD, could you fine-tune the search? And then they will. I mean, it depends on the agent. Some of them are just lazy and won't, but many of them will if you do strike a good relationship with them, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely from our perspective, when we're the ones in contact with them and, you know, we do all the proper things that they're expecting kind of thing, then yes, then we definitely can say yes, okay, we have a customer who's looking for this and this and that, can you please send us listings as they become available? So for us it happens probably a bit more frequently than for, let's say, if an agent is being contacted by a foreigner who lives overseas and says that he's interested in property, they'll need to see that you're really interested and not just a tire kicker before they'll do that.
Yeah, okay. And what is, I mean, is it even worthwhile to be looking at listings now and wait, you know, I don't know, is it a waste of time at this point, you know, say 9 months in advance?
Well, you're saying you have been looking, right?
It's sort of just on and off, you know, every few weeks I'll kind of pop things up, but you know, I don't even know if I'm looking the right places to be.
I'll send you a list of the major MLS websites that we normally work with for this kind of thing. Just see if there's anything that you've missed, or any, you know, any particular website that has more Nagasaki selections available than another. But otherwise, I'd say just, you know, keep on doing what you've been doing, and if and when the time draws nearer, maybe give us like 2-3 months heads up before you arrive, and then we'll start lining up some actual listings that would be feasible for a viewing, so that, let's say, hopefully by the time we're 2-3 weeks ahead of your visit, we'll already be able to schedule viewings for you.
Okay. No, this has been very, very helpful.
So how we work and all of that, you've read in our document, right? You've got a rough idea of the processes and timeframes and costs and all of that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
See if I questions. No, I think that's about it. I mean, do you think it would be worth getting a little bit of research from you just to get an idea of what generally is out there?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, we're happy to put in a couple of hours of just complimentary research for you. So if you reply to our last correspondence, just reminding me that you want us to do that for you, I'll put our marketing lady on it.
Okay, great. Yeah, just to see, you know, if I'm even thinking about the right things or what somebody with a little more experience has in mind.
We'll do that. And then also remind me in that same email to send you that list of websites so that you can maybe expand your search on your own as well.
Okay, great.
Fantastic. I'll wait to hear from you.
Okay, thanks so much, Liz.
My pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Have a good day.
You too. All right. So yes, as promised, a couple of nice Q&A sessions around the topic of purchasing a secondhand holiday home in Japan. Hope you found some value in our little chats as always. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa, and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company, and you've got any sort of business or visa related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku!